Thank you for joining us today for our daily broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today, we are continuing our special series on the Christmas story, so let's listen in now.
Soon your trials will be over.
Now, really exciting stuff. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12 is a quick little freeze frame that John is then shown the summary or the history of how we kind of, in a sense, got to this place. And so he kind of gives a summary here in chapter 12, or is given a summary here in chapter 12, where he kind of gives how we got to this place. And it says in verse 1, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born." And then it says, "She bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne." The very next verse is future. Verses 1 through 5, it's already happened. By time that John is being given it, it's already happened. As we're looking at it, verses 1 through 5 has already happened. Verse 6 on has not. What has happened between verse 5 and 6 is a gap. It's called the church age, and we see this all through God's word in the New Testament and the Old Testament. We see this gap time and time again. Not time to go over that. If you've been with us for any amount of time, you know I've gone through that time and time again. But this is the church age that happens between verses 5 and 6. But verses 1 through 5, it's already happened. It's already happened. So let's take a look at this. We're given four personalities here mentioned in chapter 12. We have the woman, who I'm going to show you is the nation of Israel. We have the dragon, who is the devil. We have the male child, that's Jesus, the Messiah. And Michael is already described as an archangel. So verse 9 of chapter 12 tells us who the red dragon is. So we don't have to look it up or anything like that. It says, "The great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called who? The devil, Satan." So we already know this. For what we're looking at here, the red dragon is Satan. It's the devil, okay? Now, the question in who is this woman? Well, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 37. Keep your hand here, okay? So we're at the first book of the Bible and the last book of the Bible. Now, I would always tell you that if you come across something weird in God's word and some symbolism and things like that, ask yourself, is this given anywhere else in God's word? And where's the rule of first mention? When is the first time we see this happen in God's word? That usually will be a clue of what's being talked about later on when that same metaphor is being used. Well, we really only see this metaphor being used here in Genesis 37. This is the story of Joseph and his father Jacob and his 11 brothers and things like that. And so what is happening at this point is that Jacob has 12 sons, and one of them is Joseph, and that's his favorite. He gives him a coat of many colors and distinguishes him and lifts him up above his brothers. How do you think his brothers felt about that? They didn't like that. This is one of the reasons you do not, as a parent, show any favoritism to your kids, okay? And because it's gonna make all the other siblings resent that person, obviously. Okay. But so Joseph is young, and so he's put in authority, and he goes and checks on his brothers how they're doing, and he comes back and he gives an unfavorable report about them to their dad. Obviously not building good graces with his brothers. Okay. And so it's at this point that he has a dream. And he says here in verse 6, he has a dream. And he says, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he still dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers. Dude, shut up. Keep it to yourself. But he doesn't. And he says, look, I've dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, 11 stars, green clovers. And, no, I'm just kidding. 11 stars bow down to me. And so he told it to his father and brothers. And his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So his dad actually interprets the dream. Those 11 stars, the sun and the moon, speak of who? Speaks of Jacob. It speaks of his bride. It speaks of the other 11 sons, and they're all bowing down to Joseph, okay? But it speaks of what comes from them, the nation of Israel, the nation of Israel. Jacob is called what later on? Israel. Because out of him, what? The nation of Israel was born. And so I would submit to you that this, the moon, the stars, the 12 stars there, speak of the nation of Israel, according to what we read here in Genesis 37. Now, if that's the case, and I believe it is, we're going to be able to see some pretty interesting things. Now, Revelation 12, 1 through 5 is speaking of the history. Revelation 1 here is speaking of Israel. We're going to get back to that. But notice what it says in verse 5. She bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Do I really need to go over that speaks of Jesus? Okay, where's Jesus right now? At the right hand of the Father. We are told in Psalm 2, verse 7, I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me. You are my son today. I have begotten you. Ask of me, I will give you the nations of your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possessions. You shall break them with a rod of iron. This male child was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. This is speaking of the Messiah, is what that is speaking of. And so this expression here, we know that the rod and staff, the rod is for correction, the staff is for protection. And so Jesus is going to set up his kingdom here on earth someday, and he's going to rule with the rod of iron. It's going to be a forced worship, is what it's going to be for that 1,000 years. And so who's the one that gave birth to the Messiah? Not the church. Israel did. Israel is the one that gave birth to the Messiah. The Messiah, Jesus, gave birth to what? The church. And so her child being caught up to God in heaven is a Greek word, harpazo, and it means a snatching away. It's the same word that's used in the rapture of the church in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and snatched away and is now where? At the right hand of the Father. Now, going through this in verse, we're kind of backing up to it, but it says here in verse 4, speaking of this great fiery dragon in verse 3, it says in verse 4, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. So this took place before Jesus was born. I would submit to you it probably took place in the first couple days of creation, okay, that when Satan rebelled. And so that'll be for another time. We're going through a Genesis. But his tail took a third of the stars with him, just like Satan deceived Eve and said, and to Adam, and said, hey, look, you should listen to me. You should eat of the fruit because God doesn't want you to become like him. And so you should listen to me. He's saying that this is really the best thing for you. It's not. He just doesn't want you to become like him. But if you ate of this fruit, you will become like him. And them listening to Satan and his deception is what created the fall. And it's the same thing I would submit to you with these other angels. That Satan obviously went through, started talking to him, say, hey, you know, you have this position in God's kingdom, but, you know, if you came with me, I'd give you a greater position. And he was able to get a third of them to be deceived and go with him. And that's where all the fallen angels and demons and all that stuff came from. And so what do they want to do? They want to destroy this child that is going to be born from this woman. Now, I would submit to you that again, that Satan, from the moment he was told in Genesis 3:15, which we went over a couple weeks ago, the very first prophecy of a coming Messiah who's going to destroy Satan, the proto-evangelium, which is Genesis 3:15, From that moment on, Satan has been trying to destroy the bloodline of the Messiah so that Messiah that was prophesied would not be able to come. From Eve to the days of Mary, God was preparing to bring forth a man-child that would bless the entire world and destroy Satan. From the moment of that prophecy that we see of the coming Redeemer of man in Genesis 3:15, Satan has tried to stop that seed by the murder of Abel by Cain. Satan tried to pollute the human race through fallen angels having sex with daughters of men in Genesis 6. He tried to destroy the Hebrew nation through the slavery in Egypt. He tried to destroy the Jews by the decree of Haman in Esther chapter 3. After the birth of Jesus in the manger in Bethlehem, Satan influenced who? Herod, to make that decree to kill all the babies under the age of 2. And at the crucifixion, Satan finally thought that he had won his shining moment, only to be able to see that the Savior could not be contained, death could not hold him. 3 days later, he rises from the dead, showing his victory as being the perfect sacrifice. Because of the wages of sin is death, but because Jesus did not sin, death could not hold him. And so he's been looking for a way, destroy this messianic line, destroy the Messiah. So what? So he wouldn't be able to destroy him. But the child was caught up to God and his throne, and that's where Jesus is today, there at the ascension. Now, going back to verse 1 here, Revelation 1. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and her head as a garland of 12 stars. Is it possible that there's actually a sign in the stars that gives us a picture of this? Well, it's very interesting to me that in Genesis 1:14, it says, "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let there be for signs and seasons and for days and years." This is the fourth day of creation. And God is creating the sun and the moon and the stars. And he says he does that for signs and seasons. Well, the word sign there in the Hebrew is oath. And it means sign, signal, distinguishing mark, banner, remembrance, miraculous sign, omen, warning, proof. I love that word proof there. Is it possible that this statement in Revelation 12 is actually a sign in heaven for all to see to prove that the Messiah has been born? Well, let's see. I want you to see this next sign here. So, interesting to me, you have Virgo, which means what? Virgin. Right there should catch your attention, okay? You have above her head Leo, which just happens to be made up of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 stars. What? So, in that star itself is Regulus, which is where we get the term regal, which is known as the king star. That's always in Leo, okay? It's always there, all right? But it's at the head of the woman. There's your garland of 12 stars. It speaks of Leo, which just happens to have the, well, the king star there. And also interesting thing here is also Jupiter just happens to be there during this time, okay? And so, spoiler alert, this is all happening on November 11th, 3 BC. Okay? Jupiter just happens to be there. Jupiter is known as the king planet. What? All right. Then you have Virgo, the virgin. All right? It says in Revelation 12 that she's going to be clothed with the sun. This is the clothing of the sun right here. And that the moon is going to be beneath her feet. It's not quite beneath her feet here, but it does become beneath her feet right here at a certain time period. So I'm going to show you the next slide, and then we'll put them back to back, okay? So here we have this line that runs through right through here that kind of goes this way. That's called an ecliptic, okay? That is where all the constellations move throughout their seasons and things like that. We know where the sun is going to be through each one of these constellations. We also know where the moon is going to be also that will be on this ecliptic. So that's the moon, 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 that's the moon beneath her feet. Okay? So we read here that that she's going to be clothed with the sun, and she is during this time period, and that the moon is going to be beneath her feet. At 7 p.m. on September 6th, the moon is here, not beneath her feet. On September 7th, the moon is here, not beneath her feet. September 8th, it's here. September 9th, September 10th, September 11th, it's here. And it's only here between the time period of 6:15 p.m. and 7:45 p.m. on September 11th, 3 B.C. That lines up with what we read in Luke, right? That it says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by what? Night. Night. Later on, they're going to say, for there's born to you this day. When does daytime start for the Jewish calendar? At night, sundown. That's when the 24-hour period begins. So again, it's there. Now, this is what Ernest Martin has to say. He wrote a wonderful book called The Star That Astonished the World. I got a lot of the stuff from that. And it says, the only time of the year that the sun could be positioned to clothe this woman called Virgo, that is to be mid-bodied to her. We see it right there. Okay. In the region where a pregnant woman carries a child is when the sun is located between 150 and 170 degrees along the ecliptic. That clothing of the woman by the sun occurs for a 20-day period each year. The 20-degree spread could indicate the general time when Jesus was born. In 3 BC, the sun would have entered the celestial region about August 27th and exited around September 15th. If John in the book of Revelation is associating the birth of Jesus with the period when the sun was mid-bodied to this woman called Virgo, then Jesus would have to be born within that 20-day period. From the point of view of the Magi, this would have been the only logical sign under which the Jewish Messiah might be born, especially if he were to be born of a virgin. The sign of the sun clothing the woman, that period of 20 days, from August 27 to September 15th in the year 3 BC, it's the additional sign of the moon being under her feet, which actually pinpoints the nativity within a day and within 90 minutes of that day. In the year 3 BC, these two relationships of the sun and moon and Virgo came into alignment only in a 90 or 81 minute period that began at 6:18 and lasted till 7:39. Here they say 6:15 and 7:45, pretty close. So that's the only time that could happen. So if indeed Jesus was born in 3 BC and he was born on September 11th, that would be the time period he was born, which again goes alongside what we just read in Luke, that he's going to keep watch over their flock by night. That's when the angels show up and it said, born to you this day. And so again, it seems to line up with Scripture. Now, the interesting thing about September 11th, 3 BC up there, is that that happens to be the month of Tishri, the very first day of Tishri. What also happens to be the Feast of Trumpets or the Day of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah. And so that in itself is very interesting. Tishri 1, the Feast of Trumpets. So right now, September 11th in 3 BC is the only day that the moon is beneath the feet of Virgo, and that happens to also be Tishri 1 on the Jewish calendar, that is the Day of Trumpets. The Day of Trumpets, or the Feast of Trumpets, is a day where they proclaim God as king and how he will someday rule over the nation. Zechariah 14:6 was commonly quoted on this day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. The Day of Trumpets is also Rosh Hashanah, which is the start of the new calendar year. Nisan is the beginning of the religious calendar. Tishri is the beginning of the civil calendar year of the Jews. It was on this day the Jews believed, according to the Talmud, that God began the first day of creation as well. There seems to be some evidence of that in the sense of when God recreated the heavens and the earth through the flood, we read in Genesis 8:13, and it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth, Noah removed the covering of the ark, and look, indeed, the surface of the ground was dry. Interesting. It seems to suggest that just like, you know, the new earth now is happening on the first month of the first day, The Jews say that also was the very first creation account was that first month of the first day would also be Tishri, first month, first day, the new earth after the flood on Tishri, first month of the first day. Now, here's a religious calendar here. Begins with Nisan, Tishri is in the seventh month. The civil calendar, Tishri is the first month, goes down that way. Show the next slide here. So again, we're looking at this. This is the first day. So in September, when Jesus was born, is on the first day here of Tishri, right there. September 11th would have fallen on the first day of Tishri, right there, is when he was born. Now, this is significant. If Tishri is the first day of the new year, and it is, and that's the day that they worship and they believe that God created the earth, also the day after the flood, and then that's a day that they worship God as king. It's interesting that Jesus is brought into the world in a day that they worship God as king and being the one who is the creator of creation. Well, we know, according to Colossians and also John 1:1, that everything was created through who? Jesus. To be born on that day where you proclaim God as king to rule someday, the creator of everything who created the earth on that day and recreated the earth after the flood on that day, and then Jesus being born on that day would show great significance if you were to ask me. Now, there are many who believe that Jesus was born during the Feast of Tabernacles, but that cannot be the case. Some want to put him being born around Tishri 15 on the Day of Tabernacles. The problem with this is that remember that when it came to the three great feasts, whether it's Passover, Pentecost, or Tabernacles, all Jewish men have to be there, okay? But Joseph wasn't there. Where was he? In Bethlehem. Why? Because of the census, which says that every man went to his own town. If this took place during Tabernacles, then every man couldn't have gone to his own town for the census. So that couldn't have happened. He couldn't have been born on any major feast. And so I look at this scriptural evidence that I presented to you here, and we're going to close with this. I would submit to you with this evidence of the new evidence of Herod's death being in 1 BC instead of 4 BC. Line up perfectly of Jesus' death on the cross at 33 years of age being in AD 30, and then the destruction of the temple in 70 AD showing 40 years, which usually means judgment in God's word, how that lines up. And then you look at Zacharias' first service in the temple according to the 8th division of Abijah, thus leading to our Savior being born in the fall. And then you have the best evidence of all, I believe, in Revelation 12, 1 through 4, the sign of the heavens of the woman, the constellation Virgo, meaning virgin, clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and her head a garland of 12 stars. One of those stars being what? Regulus, meaning regal, the king star is in that constellation. And also Jupiter has aligned there at that time, the king of all the planets. And those two combined would make a much brighter light, which I would submit to you is what the Magi saw. And we will get more into that when we get into the Magi. And so all that together seems to me to indicate that from everything I've read, this is probably the best date that you have of when Jesus is born. And then again, maybe not. Okay. I'm willing to hear other things. I'm just presenting to you what I have found as I've gone through this, and I've followed all sorts of other ways, and I'm just going, I don't want to show you all those other ways. That would take another hour, hour and a half. But I just presented to you the best indication if you were to ask me of when Jesus was born. And I think it's on that day of 3 BC on the first day of Tishri in the fall. Let's pray. Neither death
nor even life. You have just heard from Pastor Dave Love from Calvary Castle Rock, continuing his teaching of the Christmas story. If you would like to download a free copy of this message in its entirety, please go to our website at calvarycr.com. Once you're on the main menu, select Teachings, and then View All, and then scroll to the bottom and select Christmas. Before you know it, Christmas Eve will be here. We hope to be a part of your day by joining us for one of our two Christmas Eve services. At 3 p.m., we'll be gathering at Festival Park in downtown Castle Rock. Or you can join us at 7 p.m. with childcare available at Calvary Castle Rock. Invite your friends and family. We look forward to celebrating together the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at a new time of 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.